This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and I'm Kat Nabzok, and this is Star Wars Ranked. Number 86 in the show's history, but something new. Star Wars Ranked in focus, Infus Nest. That's right. We are going to be looking at five of the things I believe Infus Nest brings to the Star Wars story. She is, of course, from the movie Solo, A Star Wars Story, the 2018 film that is unfortunately sometimes maligned. But for the most part, we here at Force Center absolutely love the movie. Love what the movie not just brings to the Star Wars story, but brings to the connective themes and emotional canon of Star Wars, and Infus Nest is definitely a part of that. Portrayed wonderfully by the great Aaron Kellyman, Infus Nest is the leader of the Cloud Riders, a group of marauders, or at least that's what we were presented. And then the story goes from there. Now, to be clear, she's not in the movie nearly as enough as I think many of us would like her, but she's there. She's important. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on, because in the amount of time we get with Infus Nest, which admittedly is not a ton, Infus Nest absolutely takes her place in the pantheon, I say, of great Star Wars characters. There is so much stuff on the surface, and this isn't even on my list of five things. But there's so much on the surface with the character of Enfys Nest, and that's always important. I don't think it's frivolous to talk about a character's design, the action figure quality, the color schemes, the weapons, the masks, the helmet, the capes, all the capes, and of course, the vehicles, the look of the vehicles, the feel. Oh, yeah. Enfys Nest has a lot going for her as a character in just that general Star Wars stuff. Her swoop bike sits proudly on my shelf. I'm staring at it right now. The imagery, the weapons she's so skilled in battle with, it's all there. It's all there. But you could easily get lost on the surface. I think it's important, but I think it's also important to realize sometimes we can stop there. There was probably a point in time during my first or second viewing where I had kind of stopped on the surface with the character of Enfys Nest. I liked it. I love the music. John Powell's themes, the Cloud Riders music plays when they arrive, both in the train heist and then on Vandor and then later on in Severine. I absolutely love it. It's great stuff. So I was there from the beginning, but I just remember there's so much going on in the movie. It does move fast and you're trying to process it. And I hadn't focused on Enfys Nest enough. I was like, all right, I get it. The swerve, she's a woman, and maybe she was. We thought she was a man. I get it. I wasn't sure who was she doing the stunts. Who was doing? I got caught up in that stuff, and by the third or fourth viewing, I don't keep track, you know. But by the third or fourth viewing, after my initial viewings, I got it. I clicked in. And also, I think that's important. One of the things Enfys Nest might represent outside of the Star Wars story, the importance of taking the time and going back and revisiting and measuring the true weight of these characters. I definitely did it with Enfys Nest. My appreciation and absolutely admiration and respect for the character, and definitely, again, Aaron Kellyman, who portrays Enfys Nest, but the character grew when I had feelings about what I love this character. I love the moment. I love her unmasking, and I'm going to write about it. And in the process of writing about it in my silly little book, Why We Love Star Wars, I honestly got to tell you, I learned more about the character and sometimes don't feel that I wrote an essay about the character, but that Star Wars did. And I was just there to catch it. It flowed out once I connected to it. And that gets me excited. It gets me really pumped up, not about something I put out into the Star Wars galaxy. It's silly. But that it's there. And that's why sometimes I just don't shut up about some of these characters and moments and movies and shows. And Enfys Nest is definitely one of them. Why do I keep talking about Admiral Raddus? Is it just because it's a cool Mon Calamari with a great quote and I was fortunate enough to meet his voice, Stephen Stanton? No. I cry when I talk about Admiral Raddus. I get emotional. Make fun all you want, but it's such an important moment and I want you to hear about it. Such is the case with Enfys Nest. That's why I want to talk about her today. So, Star Wars ranked in focus. We'll begin with Enfys Nest. We'll work 5-1. Now, like other episodes of Star Wars ranked, we have a list 5-1. I don't necessarily want to place a true value on the list. It's just kind of 5 points, and we kind of work up towards bigger points, but I don't think any of these points stand on their own. They all need the others, because that's what makes these great characters. That's what makes them so important and well-rounded, even in the small moments we have them. I hope, and I'm sure I'll say it again, I really hope we get some more Enfys Nest content. There's some little stories here and there. She appears in the Beckett one-shot comic. You should check that out. Right now, the stories of Enfys Nest continue in my head and heart. Luckily, I have this Black Series action figure to do so. I'm hopeful the character will appear in, say, a series like Cassian Andor or other Star Wars storytelling. I hope it's on the screen. I hope Aaron Kellerman gets to come back, and I hope they get to really just kind of put that character back out there because it's so vibrant. It's so, the design's so great. I just love it. But I'll take another comic. I'll take a book. I'll take something. Hopefully, at the end of this, if you're not sure about that yourself, maybe I can convince you to at least be open to it. So, Star Wars ranked in focus, in Fist Nest, the things I believe this character brings to the Star Wars story. We begin with number 5, Weasel's Redemption Song. That's right. All are welcome. Starting the list about in Fist Nest with another character? I thought about, is that something I want to do? But yeah, it is. Let's go into this. Weasel is, of course, portrayed by Warwick Davis in The Phantom Menace. Warwick, and it's now a wonderful tradition that Warwick shows up in Star Wars projects. Right now, the movies. I hope he gets a Mandalorian season 2 or season 3 or beyond appearance. That's just me. But it's a wonderful tradition, and so many great characters, from Wicket all the way to Weasel. Weasel's a cameo in The Phantom Menace, one of Watu's friends, someone who worked for the Hutts on Mos Espa, petty theft, a low-level criminal, someone there just to kind of cackle along with Watu. Then it's revealed in Solo and kind of quite frankly, after Solo. And I don't think it necessarily needed to be stated in the movie. That's that canon checklist stuff that can maybe water down a story. But Warwick Davis is there, the character's unmasked, and then we do learn, hey, no, that is the same character. It's Weasel from The Phantom Menace. So how does this relate to In Fist Nest and what In Fist Nest brings? Weasel was just that, a petty theft, a criminal. Something happened. We don't quite know, but something happened. He was tied in to the Hutts on Mos Espa, part of these crime syndicates, and that fuels into some of the things that are at play in Solo, particularly with Crimson Dawn. It's the underworld. And Warwick Davis has described Weasel saying, it's something happened, something changed, and now he's part of something. He's part of a cause, he's part of something bigger, something made him do that. And I think that's great. He's part of the Cloud Riders. Now, we learn the Cloud Riders are not pirates, they're not marauders. That's a theme that keeps coming back up. We might discuss it here a few times. But they are, of course, an early form of the rebellion, an early form of a rebellion. They're a rebellion with great purpose. And there's some more details to that. There's some bigger things we'll discuss. But I love, and in watching Solo again this week, in watching it closely and studying and looking for the things of what does In Fist Nest bring to the story, I thought of Weasel. Because to me, there's a lot of characters, creatures, humanoids, there's a bunch of different kind of denizens of the galaxy in the Cloud Riders. Again, we'll talk about it. And they've all got something to do with these crime syndicates, crushing them, crushing their cultures, the Empire's involvement in that. But here's Weasel, and all we know is Weasel was a petty theft, a low-level criminal, a ne'er-do-well. Other things might have happened. We don't know everything he did, but now he's here. What I love about that is that means, for Weasel, he had to make this choice. It wasn't necessarily that he had lived a noble existence and the Empire destroyed it, or he was a victim of the crime syndicates, which a lot of the other Cloud Riders seem to be. He was part of it. He was part of the thing that was destroying many members of the Cloud Riders, including In Fist Nest. But he's here now. So you're part of the cause because you want to be, which factor in again as well. And I think it's important to highlight that In Fist Nest took in a criminal with a change of heart. It's someone from a different walk that, like I said, literally may have done something to her or those like her, for sure. Is that part of the change? Is Weasel a low-level criminal, a petty theft, working a petty thief, working around Mos Espa, doing some things, and he gets into something bigger? Does he escalate? Does he grow? Does he grow in power in the huts? Does he move to other organizations? And does he do something horrible? And again, is it direct? It is a good chance. I'm not necessarily that it was something that Weasel did to those in the Cloud Riders, but maybe their family, their friends, their culture, their planet, their people, there's something there. Maybe that could be it. We don't know that answer. It's tip of the iceberg storytelling we're going to get. But for me, for Infus Nest, to see someone from a different walk, like I said, may have done something to her or definitely those like her, to take him in, to allow him that kind of redemption song, that redemption path, and to trust him in that. And at some point, now he's a lieutenant. He's listed, if you read the character of Weasel, he is a trusted lieutenant of Infus Nest and the Cloud Riders. To get to that point, well, we're at the end of the journey and we can accept it. But to get to that point, there had to be some point where Infus Nest didn't trust him. Where Infus Nest, or maybe her mother, to be fair, didn't trust him. We don't own the whole story. But he earned it. And they allowed him to earn it. Infus Nest and her Cloud Riders want your heart, not your past. And for me, when we're talking about what that brings to the Star Wars story, that wisdom that Infus Nest has as a leader, because Weasel's probably not the only one and probably won't be the last. What that says about Infus Nest and what that to me can be tied to in the Star Wars story is that this leads to how the full-blown rebellion will operate. We learned this more in Rogue One. We learned this the deeper you dig into the Star Wars story. Separatists, Republic leaders, even, dare we say, scoundrels and smugglers would later be welcome in the fight. To me, Infus Nest knew the power and purpose of redemption. She knew the value and she knew what was in his heart. And it wasn't about what was there before. It was about what was there now. It's a powerful reminder of our own changes and growths, maturations in life and our own paths, what we can accomplish when we want to change things around us, change us. But as much as we want to change or make change or be part of change, sometimes you need someone else to trust you, particularly if you had been acting a different way, part of something different. At some point, that leap has to be made, and Infus Nest made it. And on the off chance that we learned in later storytelling that her mother made it first, Infus Nest continued it, and Infus Nest understood it, the power of redemption. So it's Weasel's redemption song, but it's part of Infus Nest's legacy in this story. Number four. It's about unveiling the truth, the unmasking. I love that moment. That's specifically the moment I wrote about, and it's very powerful to me. It's about no longer hiding, no longer feeling the need to be something else, and even though that something else had value or a purpose or a reason, when Infus Nest takes off her mask, it is an honest call for help. There's a lot of reasons, again, that she takes the mask. We're going to come back to that too. I'm sorry for doing a lot of pin in it things, but it's part of what we got here. It's why it's all wrapped up and not necessarily one point is value over the other. The mask has legacy. There's great purpose to it because Infus Nest is a woman. She's young. She has a very innocent face, right? Freckled and big inviting eyes, and you might, if you're in that world, if you're Beckett, Tobias Beckett, no fault at Tobias Beckett at all. You know, we're not putting him to the fire. Just might be a part of a culture that came before. But you're going to look at Infant's Nest without her mask, and you're going to overlook her. You're going to underestimate her. It's going to be part of why she keeps the mask on. It's not just about hiding the voice and hiding the purpose and hiding her identity for the empire and the criminal syndicates, which, oh, by the way, is part of the great value and part of the importance of her taking off the mask. Hiding something she probably needed to do for her safety, but also needed to do for her reputation, for the way she's treated. Again, a lot of reasons. But of course she's got to take the mask off. And in this moment it works. I remember when she first takes the mask off, the first time I saw it, it was like, oh, you kind of saw it was coming. By now you're all right, you're figuring something out, you know? There was that weird marketing snafu where I think some trading cards in like France or something like that. I don't mean to accuse the French if it wasn't them. I apologize, but it was. I just remember it slightly that they released like a trading card and it said her on the back. But then all the other marketing, including the Denny's diner trading cards, ooh, collect them all, said him, he. So it was like, was it a big snafu? Was it a leak? Was it a mess up? So that's in your head. So she takes the mask off the first time. I'm like, oh, wow, cool. It's like a girl, like a younger girl. Oh, okay. I didn't see the full scope of the moment. That came a little bit later for me. Again, which is okay. I'm not holding myself to the flames there. It's how you see a movie. It's why you should see these movies a few times. If you got to race out of a theater and give your 3 out of 5 rating on Twitter, God bless you. Sometimes it's part of the job you may have. But there's great value in going back. Once she is unmasked, this is what I really feel is important. And what I love about the character and love about the way it's played. When she finally takes it off, what she's saying to me is kind of enough. I've been going around doing this. There's big things at stake. The coaxium, as she explains, I think it's a MacGuffin in terms of just a screenwriting plot device, but it represents more. Joseph and I and Jennifer have talked about that on 4Center. The coaxium, as she says, represents something new, fresh, start of something big. It's life. It's sold to you. The coaxium. Beckett is getting it for a job. He's getting it for money, a score, a hit to pay his debts. It's something, it's just part of his daily existence and he doesn't really care. We're going to steal some dangerous fuel from the Empire. And Crimson Dawn will fuel it and or they'll sell it or whatever. I don't care. Pay me my credits, give me a drink, and I'm out of here. Han Solo comes along. The heist on Vandor is to teach him the lessons of loss and the cost of this world he wants to live in and be a part of and play around in and build up a character in. That's the purpose of the heist. Some of the details I know people aren't happy with. I get it. I would have loved hours and hours of Val content, but they chose to do this heist to be costly. It's Han Solo's story, after all, and that's why it's important to him. It's inherent. I get it. But for Han, that loss, it does show him, gosh, Val's dead. Rio's dead. They in the script, in the novel, they lose the heavy gunner. Gosh, I forget his name right now, but they lose him. That's actually kind of the reason they need Chewie, right? So he does it, though, for the score, the hit, the coaxium. And then when they can't turn it in and collect their bounty, and in fact, they probably might be killed, let's just get another score. It's a big fancy way to get another one. But hey, these damn Cloud Riders, they're coming around, these stupid marauders. They're careless, pointless, they don't care. Beckett's starting to say that. That's finally what causes Infant's Nest to take her mask off. And when she takes it off, she does something very important. She gets a drink. She doesn't take it off and say, and she could, by the way. She doesn't wag a finger. She doesn't get angry. She's not got a clench. She doesn't have a clenched fist. She doesn't have any of that. She could. And at any other point in time of her story, she might. But in this moment, after going toe-to-toe with Beckett, not just in this movie, but in the story, the Beckett one-shot comic, she's there. It's a rival. That's why they're concerned. That's why Dryden Voss is concerned. It's competition to them. They don't get it. They don't see it. And that's why they're upset. That's why Beckett says what he says from his point of view is true. Ah, they're just marauders. They're pirates. They don't care about anything. Boom. Infant's Nest has had enough. And she's tired. In that moment, Infant's Nest is tired. She takes off her mask, unveiling herself. Because she's tired of doing this alone. Yes, she's got the marauders. She's got the cloud riders, right? But she's tired of doing this alone. It has to go outside of that group. She'll keep doing that if she has to. But to me, this is a deep, raw moment. And yeah, it's played for a little humor. Mask off. I need a drink. It's human. Or at least human in our context, right? Star Wars, they're humans, humanoids. You know, she could be an Abdebneto. She could be a Yoda. It doesn't matter to me. But to us, it's a very human moment. It's a very us. What she's saying is a lot of great things are solved over drinks, right? Whether you drink alcohol or not, going out, getting a coffee, let's get an iced tea, get a cranberry juice, doesn't matter. Let's just have this moment. We're not going to fight. I'm not going to wag my finger at you. I'm not going to put my weapon to your throat. I can take my mask off, show you who I am. We're going to get a drink because I'm exhausted and I want you either to help me or at least realize why I'm doing this. This is who I am, Infant's Nest is saying, and I need you to know the truth of who I am. The rebellion itself eventually does that. The rebellion takes off its own collective mask and proudly, fiercely proclaims, this is us. This is Admiratus of the Rebel Alliance. If the Rebel Alliance had the time, they probably would have taken a drink. Probably needed one. But I love this moment. It is unveiling the truth. Infant's Nest is no longer hiding. And there's some importance to that, some significance to that, especially in a bit. But in this moment, it's my favorite thing that she wants to have a drink. It's honest and raw and real. The next thing on the list for me that Infant's Nest brings, jumping ahead a little bit in the movie and connecting a little bit to the Weasel story, she knows when it's your time to fight, it's your time. And it's the power of choosing your destiny. She needs this help, and she gets this help. She gets this help in this moment, this coaxium, this MacGuffin. She gets it. And at the end, Alden Ehrenreich, who's so damn good, and Jonas Wadamo is great as Chewie as well. Let's not forget that. This little battle is over. She's got the coaxium. We know from the novel she will head on to meet up with Saw Gerrera and a very young, about 11-year-old Jyn Erso and have a great moment. You know, and if you haven't really read that moment, if you haven't read the solo novelization by Merle Lafferty, please do. Please do. Give it a try on Audible. Audibletrial.com/4Center. That's my ad for you if you haven't listened. It's a great little moment at the end with Saw, Infus, Jyn, and the moment between Infus and a young Jyn about they'll underestimate you because of your age and your size and your gender. Make them pay for it. And just before Infant's Nest goes to meet with Saw Gerrera, who is, despite his tactics, part of a good cause, a lot of experience, and despite some of the things he's done, I'll say Saw's a good guy. But 11-year-old Jyn looks at Infant's Nest and says, he he's going to underestimate you. It's a great moment. Hot damn, I probably spoiled it for some of you. Go check it out. Anyways, it's a big moment. It's a big victory. There's more to come. It's a big victory. She looks across at Han, offers him a chance to join, says we could use a good fighter, a good leader. And we know the story. And we're watching Solo, a Star Wars story, because it's young Han Solo's story, and we're seeing it through those eyes. Again, it is his story. A lot of these characters are there to serve his story. Hopefully we get some other stories that serve their story, but it's Han's story, okay? And so I think this is an underrated moment because, particularly if you're watching this movie with a little bit of a cynical bent, you know, all right, 10 years from now, Han's going to kind of join the fight. And eventually, in Return of the Jedi, he'll officially take rank in the rebellion. One of the little forgotten facts or things overlooked in Han's career and life, he doesn't actually join the rebellion until the Return of the Jedi briefing room scene. He's Captain Solo because he's the captain of the Millennium Falcon, and he's trying to leave. That's Han's journey. But I think it's very underrated because, again, it might be viewed as a little bit of, oh, is this a wink and a nod? We know what Han's going to do. But, man, the journey of Han's important. And the journey of Han is his journey and his time. And just like Infus Nest and the Cloud Riders will welcome in Weasel, who was a member, no matter how big or little his position in the crime syndicates was, Weasel was part of it. We're going to take him in because we know where his heart is. Again, the Cloud Riders and Infus Nest want your heart, not your past. Boom, she wants Han's heart right now, but she knows she doesn't have it. And that's important. Infus Nest has the wisdom to know that all the value Han could bring is meaningless if he doesn't want to be there. That's more signs of leadership. Just like it's leadership to welcome in Weasel, it's leadership to let him go. And on a very personal moment, now it's Han and Infus, not Han Solo, the newly christened by himself, trying to live up to this image he's trying to create, this life he's trying to lead. Not Infus Nest, the leader of these marauders, these cloud riders, these burgeoning rebels. No, it's Han and Infus to me in this moment. And she just understands the power of choice. And that power of choice is important for Han because it will make his journey more powerful later for him and for us, the audience. And I could go down that road, why it's so powerful and it's misunderstood, but that's Han. This is Infus. She, again, understands the power of choice, and that idea is intrinsic to Star Wars. Destiny, and Joseph and I have just been talking about this so much, you're probably bored with it, but destiny is what takes you to a big choice. You still have to make that choice. It's how we view it. Yeah, destiny and the chosen one, what you have to do and what might be predetermined. Those are all great questions and all fun parts of these. I love, as you know, when prophecies are misread or misinterpreted or seen in different ways and both sides or views might be right. I love all that stuff in these kind of modern myths and fairy tales. But I love the personal moment here. Han wasn't there yet. It is in his heart, and Infus Nest knows it. She's a little frustrated. She'd love if he would join, but when he says, nah, you know, he's slightly disparaging. It's Han. He says, ah, kid, but, you know, a little disparaging. She doesn't let it get to her. She just kind of sighs and says, well, maybe you feel differently some other time. She hopes he goes that way, but I feel she knows he'll go that way. And the reason I feel it is actually tied to Kira. When she makes her big revelation, Infus Nest, and Han and Beckett go off and talk about it, Beckett probably stomps off and Han goes to follow and they hatch a plan. It's not that they're the ones that need to hatch the plan. They're doing it, right? It's their kind of mission. Kira's got everything riding on it. But I think it's telling. I think it's important. But it's Kira who lingers behind. Nymphas Nest, again, in a very quiet, very human moment. She's not stamping around. She's not swinging her weapon. She doesn't put the mask back on and say, help me or I will fight. She waits and asks, what do you think they're talking about? And it's Kira who says, I think he's going to help you. And it's about Han, of course. Kira knows it. Kira knew it years ago when there were scum rats. Scrum rats? Scum rats? I forget which one it is. Rats. Kira knew it then, not because of Han's big heroic actions, but how she was able to see the person she knew she was reflected back at her from Han. It's one of their moments that they experience when they're a lot younger. It's covered in the book Most Wanted. Han's a good guy. Kira talks about that in Solo. She knew it. She knew it not for his blaster work, not for his dashing good looks and roguish mentality and flinging himself all about for the name of being a hero. No. She knows Han is good because of the way she treats him, as unlike the way she's been treated by other people in that world growing up on Corellia. So when Kira says it, Nymphas Nest hears it in a way that no other character would hear it from Kira. Not even Han hears it the right way from Kira in this moment. So Nymphas Nest knows it. She believes it. So I think at the end of the movie, when she is frustrated, but hopes his heart will change somewhere down the line, it's real. It's powerful and it allows for Han to grow, but it also allows for her movement in that moment to be stronger because Han's not really a part of it. And like I said, everything he might bring to the table would then be meaningless. He's just kind of walking through the motions or not sure if he even wants to be there. When you're ready, you're ready. And Nymphas Nest knows that. Plus, what I love about that moment in my head canon, Chewie, the best friend of the galaxy, is there. I think he's about helping people. He's definitely seen what the Empire and these crime syndicates can do very much up close, obviously. But he's got a little bit of a life debt to Han. We don't get that fully explained yet, and maybe it's explained to later. Maybe they have that conversation later. But I definitely think, speaking of conversations later, that I think that when Han takes his money on Alderaan, and says, I know what I'm doing. They get in the Falcon and fly off. I think, in my mind, Chewbacca's not just sitting there silently. I think he says, remember what happened on Savarine. Remember Nymphas Nest. Remember the Cloud Riders. We had a chance to join then. You had a chance to join then, Han. You weren't ready. We weren't ready. We went away. We had a lifetime of adventures. A lot of crazy stuff, but we're here now. And they need us. You're going to walk away this time. It's something Han's going to fight with his whole life, and Chewie's always there to kind of get in his ear. But I think, headcanon-wise, Han returns in A New Hope in part because he didn't stick around for Nymphas Nest. The number two thing that I think Nymphas Nest brings to the Star Wars story is the power of motherhood and the great purpose of legacy. Nymphas Nest had her childhood shattered. We don't know a ton of her story. We really don't. And we talk about the tip of the iceberg storytelling here, and we can always be hopeful that we'll get more. She was born 27 years before the Battle of Yavin, so about 3 years, doing my math, after the Phantom Menace. And that's about all we know. We know she comes from a culture that has a little bit more of a matriarchal bent. And her mother, unfortunately, passes away, and the battle helmet is passed down to her. And this, I'm not saying Nymphas Nest had the best childhood at this point. I'm sure it was topsy-turvy, to say the least, but whatever innocence, whatever naivete, whatever youth she had left was taken away from her in that moment, and she had no choice at that point. Just in terms of legacy. Yeah, I'm talking about choice, about rebellion and movements and all that, but there was a legacy there, and her mother passed, and that was where destiny brought her to. And she made the choice to take the helmet, to take the mask and put it on and lead from there. We know that mothers are very important in Star Wars, without a doubt. They're featured. They're featured a lot. We don't get a lot with them often, as is in a lot of storytelling. Unfortunately, going back to, you know, the dawn of time, but especially Bambi, the death of the mother is often a reason for a character to go on or do something. And again, I think it's very effective. I think it's powerful with Anakin. I understand its purpose with Jyn, but Lyra Erso is worth way more than that cameo in Rogue One, and I'm fine with it. Catalyst is a great book, and I suggest you read it. And so on and so on. Padme too. It's why it's so powerful that Leia gets to kind of be around, and I'm including Episode 9 of that, and be a mother not just to Kylo Ren and not just to the Rebellion, but on a smaller individual level with a lot of other characters. One of, to me, one of the most subtle, powerful images is Infa's nest with what we believe is her daughter, or at least the next generation, right? It's powerful to me. It's the power of motherhood that's not often focused on in Star Wars. And it is another form of legacy, which is big in Star Wars. I love my Skywalker saga. I love all of that. Love the Skywalker legacy, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the inspiring. But here it is on a smaller level in this one great shot. It was not lost on me. When she talks about, hey, I got this mask, you know, my mother who wore it before me, I'm paraphrasing, but then you see that shot of her and the other young girl. And I wish we could live a little bit more in it. But it's also another reason why Infa's Nest is fighting. Another reason why she, again, has to wear the mask. It's this great tradition is all we know. We don't know much about it. I don't know when it began. But I do believe it is in my heart, until corrected otherwise by a new form of a Star Wars story about around Infa's Nest. I take it. I absolutely take it because of that shot of Infa's Nest and what I believe is her daughter there. I believe it's mother to mother to mother. I think in my heart that's how it works there. And it's just really cool, man. And I want to know more about that. And again, to the point of the bigger point here, with the mask, at some point, wherever it began, it probably wasn't just about being a fierce warrior and a fierce leader. I am space woman, hear me roar. No. It was probably also because they needed it. Because again, without this mask, we know you're not going to be taken seriously. You're going to be underestimated for all these reasons. So you know what? Fine. We'll play the game. We'll have this tradition. We'll have this mask. And we'll cut them down along the way. And I love it. It's also why it's, again, important when the mask comes off. Why it has great purpose. So anyways, I love it. I love that about Infa's Nest. I can't wait to learn more about it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side?
helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The final thing that Infant's Nest brings to the Star Wars story is the best example. Great expanding of this story of rebellion that we know, it just is about the fact that the rebellion was from the people. I definitely wrote about this a lot. It comes up time and time again because I think because I'm an 80s child, born in 76, raised in the 80s, so the original trilogy is not just like my Star Wars, that old kind of possessive way, but what I grew up with and how my view of Star Wars is affected. And we grew up, you know, the deep themes are there, but when you're a kid and you're out there on the playground, it is the rebellion versus the empire, and the rebellion was one army and the empire was the other army, and it was a big fight, and isn't that cool? There's laser swords and X-Wings and TIE Fighters and Y-Wings and Yippee Skippy, right? That's what it is. In modern Star Wars canon, the fact that they've really done this wonderful dive into what the rebellion was. Now, again, it's there in the Return of the Jedi novelization. It's there in all the novelizations, New Hope, Empire. But the Jedi one, read the description. I did on an episode of Spotlight Star Wars a long time ago, but read the description of Mon Mothma. You read it and you're like, oh, this is like the pitch for Star Wars Rebels, the animated series. It's all here with Mon Mothma. Lucas had that in play. It wasn't focused on it. And even then, even though I read that book at 8 or 9, I'm like, oh, Mon Mothma, great. I have that figure. I'm not catching up on the fact that it's literally describing the Mon Mothma rose as a leader because the rebellion needed it when it finally kind of coalesced into one unit, and there's different cells that couldn't know each other to keep their identity safe. It's all kind of there. It's pretty impressive when you really look down. You're like, ah, there you go. We tease Lucas that sometimes his plans were very much written in pencil or not written at all, but that one was there, and that's why I love with things like Rogue One, the book Rebel Rising. I also I'll suggest you read that. The excellent series Star Wars Rebels, which really goes into this.
and some of the books around that too. Even A New Dawn, which I'm prepared to give my a new read. I didn't take to New Dawn in 2014, which seems like another lifetime ago. And again, that's why I might revisit it. But it's all there. I do like a lot of the stuff in there. It also gives us Ray Sloan, another great character. It's the drunk cowboy Jedi, Kanan Jarrus, inherits early when they meet. That's great. But new Star Wars canon has focused on what the rebellion really was. So when we see it in A New Hope, it is a military. It's just had its first big victory. But it's a strike. It's a military operation. They got ships. They got uniforms. They got all of it, right? But it wasn't that. Rogue One dives into that. The different ideologies. Saw Gerrera's one. But also what Cassian Andor is asked to do comes from another way of thinking about rebellion. It's all different. And even Admiral Raddus, my wonderful favorite Admiral Raddus, his thing, my ideology is it's time to fight. It's all different. And Bail Organa is still there trying to, you know, unfortunately in his final days, work his magic on the political side. It's all there. But it grew out of this. The people. Something that goes all the way to Rise of Skywalker, as we've talked about, as Joseph has said more eloquent than me, Rise of Skywalker completes the Star Wars story, the rebellion side, because it is a complete victory. It is not a military victory. It is clearly, as stated by that Eternal officer, Final Order officer. It's not a Navy, sir. It's people. That fulfills this idea that that Leia finally led and inspired and the other people picked up the mantle to complete the victory as a people. And that kind of is really, I mean, it's begun in between Sith and New Hope, but you go to Solo and it's really laid out there through the eyes of Infus Nest. This is why I call her the new face of the rebellion. Affected lands and industries and cultures, they're all there. When everyone unmasks, including the Mimbanese, you got two tubes there, they're all there. And they're not there because it's time for a fight and I want a uniform. I'm joining an army and this is a war in that kind of sense. They're not there yet. They are an example of what the rule of the Empire actually did. What led to the war. It was this destruction. Solo's this great whiz-bang adventure movie. It's a serial adventure. It's got the heart of A New Hope in it, all over it, all right? I always say, I actually get why Solo maybe wasn't received as well initially. Box office stuff, that might have been a different conversation. We're looking at you, Uncle Bob. But I get it. Solo was this movie that definitely seemed smaller. There was no big, giant ticking clock, no Death Star, no supremacy, no lightsaber fight. The fate of the galaxy didn't seem to be at risk. It was, or at least it, like, is at risk. This is showing why you, I guess, have to take the risk later on. So I get it. It plays smaller. But what a small story, right? Solo was a crazy, wild adventure. It's also a small, intimate story of what the oppression of the Empire actually is. That's a quaint campfire story, if there is one, right? It's all about this. What led to the war? This. With the revealing on Savareen, all the destruction. The Empire was the enemy of the film. Who was the antagonist? Dryden Vos. For a second, it seems to be Infus Nest. Maul's at the end of it. Yeah, no. The antagonist was the Empire. All through the film. And to me, it's even made more powerful by the fact that they are not necessarily present. That's how bad it was. Han Solo's conversation about his father is important to him, but it's also important to, yeah, we used to have some sort of relationship, some sort of family unit was in place, but he worked the line of the factory building these ships that we're on right now. The Empire ruined that. So I lost him. Something happened with his mother. He's gone. He's alone. He's trying to survive on the streets. How can he survive on the streets? By getting involved with a low-level crime group. He's now a white worm serving Lady Proxima. But really, they answer the other crime syndicates, and those crime syndicates are running rampant. They're basically ruling parts of the galaxy, working hand-in-hand with the Empire sometimes. But most of the time, the Empire's just turning a blind eye. They don't need it. They need resources. They need the people's backs to be broken so the Empire can keep building. And yeah, some of the stormtroopers and pilots, the cargo pilots, they don't know. People will eventually be stationed on the Death Star and not know that Alderaan was blown up. We've read those stories, but that does not lessen or lighten what the Empire was doing, what Palpatine was doing, what Tarkin was doing. It's not just about the big Sith side. That's definitely part of it, the great evil. It's about things like the Tarkin Initiative, the Tarkin Town stuff you see in Rebels. It's all right here. When Infest Nest unmasks and the Cloud Riders do too, it's staring back at all of us. They were all affected. And it wasn't necessarily a stormtrooper kicking him in the face. It was Crimson Dawn. And who could they turn to? The Empire wasn't going to do nothing about the syndicates. So the Empire as a whole is the antagonist in this film. Because they've allowed all of this to happen. And everyone in this movie, including Kira, who has to survive, who has to kill and get part of an organization. And yeah, she's good at it. Most Wanted explains a little bit why she might even kind of like it or feel she likes it. There's a part there that she likes. But she's just there to survive. She's just there to keep going. She feels she has to serve somebody. It's part of her story. Well, we want more Kira storytelling. We want her to see her eventually move out from that and experience some sort of true freedom, even if it's just emotional. But that's part of the effect, too. It's all there. The Empire's in the film. Han goes and serves the Empire, right? He joins. We know why. He's not on board. We see it. But all of it is an example. And there it is staring back at us, the fans of Star Wars for generations and generations. That is the rebellion. And Infest Nest is the face of it. And later the cells would connect. Leaders and organization would emerge. And the first big blow would be struck. But again, Infest Nest was the new face of the rebellion. And at this moment, the face of the rebellion wasn't a hardened former soldier. It wasn't an esteemed senator on the run. It was a 16-year-old woman fighting for her right to get the life she wants. Not a life of war and crime and marauding. She wants peace. That's why she pulls the helmet off. I don't want this helmet to be on, but I'll take it off so that maybe I never have to put it on again in terms of fighting with it and in it. It's also, it's part strategy, right? All the marauders take their masks off and then they put them on the Saverine citizens, the Saverine people there, and it's a good old trickeroo on Dryden Voss and his army. The Three Amigos ending, right? Hey, we're all marauders at this point. And it is that. It's that. But I think it's very significant that the last fight here in this movie, those marauders, those Cloud Riders, were all without their masks. The rebellion 10 years from now, would finally be able to take off their masks. and basically say to the galaxy, because remember, there were other systems and people and leaders not on board with the rebellion. Nowhere Jabel, right? No, there's no Death Star. That's a lot what is going on with Rogue One. So finally, in Rogue One, definitely by New Hope, a few days later, and in truth, when probably Mon Mothma gives her big speech in Rebels, that's the rebellion taking their mask off. We're going to let you see who we really are. And that comes not just from Infest Nest. There's probably many others along the way, stories even yet to be told. But for this film and for the story of Star Wars, it is Infest Nest taking off her mask and saying, I don't want to fight anymore, but we're going to do it. And it's from the people. The rebellion was from the people. This is an excerpt from a poem that was written on the mask of Infest Nest. It reads, until we reach the last edge, the last opening, the last star, and can go no higher. Infest Nest is going to keep reaching. She's going to get that edge. Hopefully, we'll get that story. Be right back after this.
Hey, Force Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Force Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com. That's JennyLanda.com for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
Hey, Force Center fans, don't forget Force Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's Force Center on YouTube. Check it out. Welcome back here to Star Wars Rank. Just a couple minutes left in the show. Thank you so much for listening to the first Star Wars Ranked in Focus on Infest Nest. More characters on the way, but Star Wars Rank will, of course, always be fueled by guests, their top five lists, my top fives, honorable mentions, all those fun things. Every once in a while, I love trying something new here. We did those pick your crew ranks a while ago. Those might be fun to come back to as well, but had a lot of fun doing this. Thank you for listening, always on Force Center, but especially right now during this tough time, we realize hearing silly little Star Wars conversations might be beneficial. We also thank you all for understanding that we weren't during this week, broadcasting too much our episodes, just kind of letting them be there for those that need to hear them or want to hear them right now, but letting everyone else's focus be on the bigger issues in the world right now going on. Everything going on, as you know. Go back and listen to our main show this week for the conversation we had about that. Open, honest, and raw about Star Wars and the real world. I will read this, my final thought here on Infest Nest. All right, this is weird. I wrote this, all right? I try not to, I don't know, that just seems weird. But like I said, I really do mean it. Of all the things I wrote in Why We Love Star Wars, this is the one that just flowed out of me in a way that I could not explain. And like I said, helped me appreciate the character of Infest Nest more. in a way that I didn't understand when I started typing it, if that makes sense. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. There's an audio book available, but it's in about that. I just really wanted to read this because to me, it sums up why I love Emphas Nest here. I'll read the final thing here. If your movement is to grow, it needs to reach everyone's ear. It needs to spread throughout the galaxy. You need them all to see who you really are. They need to look into the eyes of the one fighting. You are not a grizzled bounty hunter wrecking mindless havoc. You are not a world-weary treasure hunter competing for the same prize. You are not pirates with no loyalty. You are a young woman, bright-eyed and freckled, overlooked and underestimated. You are part of a new generation that looked out across the galaxy and saw the failings of all those who came before you, claiming to protect you but only wanting power. You are part of a new generation that saw the dead and dying around you. You are part of a new generation that has gathered together, each with scars from what has been done to you, and you are shouting, "No more." Of course you take off your mask. You are Emphas Nest, the new face of the rebellion, and the war has just begun. Thank you all for listening this week and every week. We really appreciate you here at the Force Center community. If you want to reach out, comment on this episode, add more things to the Emphas Nest conversation, maybe even let me know about a character you want to see in focus here in Star Wars Ranked. You can follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked. We're on Instagram, YouTube, with our In Memoriams and our Star Wars Show and Tell series and other special things there already and on the way. We are also on Facebook. You can like us there. If you want to support, we are on Patreon at patreon.com/ForceCenter. And because of your support there, you make things happen for the business. This new Star Wars Ranked music, the intro and outro, are by the great Tony Thaxton. And that was made possible by all of you. We do have merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter as well. If you want to represent Force Center in the real world. But more than anything, we appreciate your support. We appreciate your listens. We appreciate you sharing episodes and spreading the word. That means a lot to us. It's a crazy, wild world that's in pain, and there's a lot of suffering and chaos no matter where you look. And that's why sometimes just clinging on to something as simple and at times silly, but always meaningful and important as Star Wars, it's close to our hearts. We'll see you next time. Star Wars has been ranked.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.